Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
All right, let's talk some baseball. Joining us now on the John Schuster Call Banker Hotline, Brandon Warren, host of Locked On Twins. He joins us here on the Lake Show. It's been a while since we chatted. We chatted a few months ago during the season. How you been, man?
Hey, we're doing okay. It's a little more fun to not be, you know, in the midst of a losing season, watching some playoffs and having some hope for next year, hopefully, but we'll see.
All right, we're going to get into the current Major League Baseball playoffs. I want to get your thoughts on that, but I want to, you know, clearly we're going to start with the Twins. I just want your thoughts on, you know, the departure of Rocco Baldelli, him being fired, a little bit over a week ago. Were you surprised by that move? Because I was mildly surprised. Like, you can never be totally shocked because the team had another bad year. I know that there are a lot of trades and stuff like that that were done right at the trade deadline. And I was mildly surprised, though, just because I know, like, the final, like, 2-3 weeks of the season were not good. But the fact that they picked up his option, they made all those trades, I thought that he might eventually be safe going into next year, and next year will be a hot seat year.
Yeah, I said surprised but not shocked. Like, I don't know if that's talking out of both sides of my mouth, but
no, I just said it too.
With 1 year, the option exercise, and then granted, we don't know exactly when that was exercised. I mean, for all we know, it could have been during the 13-game winning streak. So, I don't know that I expected it to go one way or the other. Really, like, I didn't have a strong feeling either way, but I always thought that if Falvey was coming back, they'd bring Rocco back, and it just turns out that they were not as attached as I thought they were. And, you know, I was a pretty outspoken Rocco advocate, and it went sideways in a way that I guess, you know, somebody has to lose their job. It just kind of is the nature of the beast, and that's how it goes. So I think he'll land on his feet, whether it's back with the Rays in some capacity, or there are still quite a few managerial openings. We'll see what happens there. But surprised but not shocked. I think he deserved better, but at the same time, too, if they're transitioning to something new, something different, they want a new voice, and sometimes that's necessary.
So are we saying that he was essentially the fall guy for just the losing that took place over this? Because just this weekend, I talked to some former managers. I was with some former managers at an event. I talked directly face to face with Dusty Baker, and Dusty Baker told me, he was like, what the hell happened with Rocco? He's like, I don't understand that they traded away all his guys, and then they expected him to do something with that in the second half of the year. And so Dusty Baker said to me, he was like, yeah, he clearly was the fall guy with regards to what happened there. He's like, he's going to land on his feet like you just mentioned, but when you got Hall of Famers like Dusty Baker, and I know he's technically, he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, but I talked to him, I talked to Cito Gaston, I talked to Jerry Manuel, and guys were very supportive of Rocco.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to it's a scapegoat thing. You can't fire all the players, although they did certainly try to at the trade deadline. And it just, yeah, you have to show that you're doing something. And I don't know if it's from a PR standpoint, if it's from a new voice standpoint, but I agree. It was a raw deal situation. And ideally, if it was up to me, he would have stayed around for one more year. But with that said, there's a lot we don't know about the direction of this team, too. And it wouldn't have been fair to have him stick around for another year on a one-year deal and have the team not actively trying to win to help him actually keep that job. So I'm not sure what was more fair to him, letting him go a year early or a year late. And the problem is everything kind of trickles downhill from what is an ownership group that is, has kind of hamstrung everybody along the way.
All right, so let's get to, I guess, one of the bigger questions is, who do you think are some of the names potentially that could be in the mix for the next managerial job for the Minnesota Twins?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of complicated because you don't know if they want to go the route of young manager to grow with the team, or do you want a veteran manager who's kind of been around the block, or somewhere in between. You know, we did, on Locked On Twins, we did a managerial draft and kind of had some fun with, like, likely candidates and some candidates that we wanted. My favorite candidate would be James Ralston. He's the hitting coach of the Yankees. He obviously was the hitting coach when the Twins were the Bomba Squad back in 2019. He's bounced around a little bit with the Marlins, the Yankees. But obviously offensive-minded, the team hit incredibly under his tutelage, and he's familiar with the team. I think the Yankees may be looking to change it up a little bit, assuming they're going to lose to the Blue Jays, which seems likely. And so I think he may be available, and I think he may be a really great fit, because hitting, to me, is the big issue with this team right now. But if you want to go development, you've got Bobby Wilson, who used to catch for the Twins. A lot of people are going to ask about Torrey Hunter, Nelson Cruz. Craig Albernaz is a coach with the Guardians that's getting a lot of love. And my sneaky candidate, if the Yankees fire Aaron Boone, he was one of the guys in the conversation when they hired Rocco, and he was even going to be on Rocco's staff, possibly. He was looking at places in Minnesota. That's how close they got, and then the Yankees came calling. So that's the name I would watch out for, is Aaron Boone, because, again, though, they have to say, hey, we're going to try not to just be a team that's rebuilding and losing. You got to have something to kind of hang your hat on, but that's the name I wouldn't sleep on, is Aaron Boone.
But why would you, if you're Aaron Boone, why would you take this job? To go from a team that's going to spend money and is such a, you know, from a franchise perspective, one of the, you know, one of the revered teams in baseball history, that to me seems like a weird ask or fit for him.
Well, if he gets fired, I mean, he'll be looking for work. And I do think the Yankees are going to be.
Will he? I mean, if you're Aaron Boone, you could wait for a year or so.
You could, and that's exactly right. I just mean, if they've already entertained the notion, and if he was coming to possibly join the Twins after 2018, which was one of the most miserable seasons I've ever covered, and I'm sure you remember it as well, with Logan Morrison and all those guys. That was a tough year, and he was still willing to come.
I was just winding down my final year in Kansas City, and then I got back here in 2019. Yeah, so I missed you guys by then.
You missed out, and you really didn't. So that was the most miserable team I ever covered. That was worse than the 103 loss team in 2016. The vibes were so bad, and he was still willing to come then. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what his contract situation is as far as a buyout or if he's got years left that they'll have to pay him for. But I just think that's a name to kind of keep an eye on if they want someone more established to lead a group of young players. But if someone's looking for like a Doug Minkiewicz, you know, not somebody who's anti-analytics, but is definitely going to manage as much on gut feel as analytics, I'm not sure Minkiewicz is that guy. I just think, you know, he was fired by this same, you know, Derek Falvey a few years ago. I don't know if there's bad blood or anything, hard feelings. So we'll see, but I don't think they're going to go with a real old school type of manager. I think it's still going to be someone who's going to do platoon advantages and that sort of thing. So it's going to be fun to watch. Bobby Wilson, though, recently backup catcher that I enjoyed covering in 2018, one of the few bright spots. I think he's also a sleeper to keep an eye on because he just announced in the last day or so that he's leaving the Rangers who he had coached for. So that could be a fun candidate too. Great, great, great dude. And backup catcher. Everybody loves those former catchers as managers. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. We're talking to Brandon Warren, host of Locked On Twins here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. Now, with, you know, all the talk surrounding Joe Ryan and the way things went in the second half for him and will the Twins look to trade off some more stars, what is your take on Joe Ryan, Pablo Lopez? I mean, Byron Buxton said one thing already during the season. Like, what do you make of those specific names? Because I don't want to trade anybody, and I definitely don't want to trade Joe Ryan. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Joe Ryan's take or his thoughts on being with this team are right now, because he seemed a little bit frustrated in the second half, clearly.
And understandably so. Yeah, my fervent hope is that all three of those guys are back next year. And when I think about Buxton, it would be so unfair to hear him talk about his commitment to this organization and then to continue trading guys away. If you go into next year with Ryan and Pablo at the top of your rotation, you've got Buxton, you've got hopefully a bounce back from Lewis. Luke Kuechel looks like a nice player. The rest of this division is not that difficult. The Royals are pretty good. The Guardians are pretty good. The Tigers blew a huge lead, and they're, I would say, pretty good. I don't see any reason. The Twins don't have to go out and spend $30, $40, $50 million to contend in this marketplace. So keep the guys you have, maybe add a few guys. You know, they're going to need to build a bullpen on the fly, but I still believe in the talent on this team. I might be the last man standing on that front.
Yeah, I think you might be. Our bullpen's crap. Like, this team is going nowhere with this bullpen. They got to go out and add arms. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. I think there's a few guys. I mean, I think they have options of bringing back some guys. You know, Caleb Philbar, Danny Coulomb are going to be fairly cheap and they can get outs. But it's going to come down to bullpen. I think they have enough starting pitching options. They have an offensive, you know, a framework of an offense. You're going to need a bullpen. But if you're going to try to build a team and you need something, you want it to be a bullpen, because bullpens year in and year out are pretty volatile. You know, we've seen how valuable they are. Go back to Kansas City as an example. But Tampa Bay builds a bullpen on the fly all the time. San Diego used to. They've kind of changed on that. But if there's one thing I want to be going into a season building to make my team good, it's probably a bullpen. So, again, I hope this is a moment where we look back on and say that this guy here, and that's me, was the last man standing on this group of Twins players. I still think it's there if they build properly.
Yeah, they got the one issue that we truly have not been really good at is just developing those arms. We've acquired arms and put them in the bullpen, but in terms of like developing from within, we haven't done a great job. Actually, the guy that we probably did a decent job after we just saw that he wasn't a starter was Louis Varland, and now he's, you know, in Toronto. So we'll see how all of that shakes out. When the Twins don't make the postseason or they're bouncing the postseason, I know you continue to watch all the games in the playoff series, but is there like a certain team that you root for here in the 2025 Major League Baseball postseason?
Yeah, I mean, I can't watch a baseball game between two high school teams without wanting one of the other to win, just based on my competitive nature. So I would love to see Milwaukee do it. I mean, by proxy, they're the Twins' not only closest team, but the similar economic situation, similar structure. When the Twins were building teams 20 years ago, was a lot like this. You know, young, great players, you lose your stars, and you just keep rebuilding. And then Seattle, obviously, I'm still a Jorge Polanco fan. They got Mitch Garver, and I would like to see Seattle or Toronto, either one getting out from the AL would be great. And I would love to see Milwaukee slay the beast of the Dodgers. So Milwaukee against either Toronto or Seattle, to me, would be just such a fun World Series, and I would love, love, love to see Milwaukee take it home.
Yeah, I love watching and seeing what Seattle's doing, and they're up right now. I think they're up 6-1. I do want to say that, you know, a lot of times in sports, I don't like some of the bigger markets. I know in baseball, you know, we look at payroll and stuff. I love the Dodgers, though. I got to be honest. And people can call me a fraud and all that. Because the best player that we have been blessed to watch is Shohei Ohtani. I love Mookie Betts. And Clayton Kershaw is just when you got all-time guys like that, I like to, and this is going to be his last go-around, I like to see guys go out on top, and it is an opportunity for Clayton Kershaw to go out on top.
When you talk about a team that spends a lot of money and you talk about the Dodgers, you also have to talk about their player development because they're constantly churning out good players from their system in addition to signing guys. It's a top-tier outfit, top-tier organization, and really their main issue is keeping starting pitchers healthy, which that's a league-wide epidemic, so it's not like they're anything unusual. There's a lot to admire about the Dodgers, even if you aren't a big fan of all the money they spend.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's always a pleasure to have you on, Brandon, man. Take care. We'll talk to you real soon, and if I don't talk to you before the holiday season begins, happy holidays to you and the family. How old are the kids now?
8 and 2, so a little bit of a gap there, but they're wonderful. Just love it. I love being a dad.
That's awesome, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Be good.
All right, that's Brandon Warren from Locked On Twins joining us here on The Lake Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to Word on the Street. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
All right, let's dive into Word on the Street here on The Lake Show.
All right, let's get to it, H. Lake. Thin Jonah Hill, chunky Jonah Hill, which one do you prefer? Well, it looks like it's going to be slim down Jonah Hill for the time being because he was spotted sporting a shaggy hairdo and a svelte figure while calling the shots of a set of the upcoming movie Cut Off, co-starring Kristen Wiig. Now, the duo play a pair of rich twins who get cut off from their parents. Now, Jonah, who co-wrote the film, is also directing. This isn't the first time we've seen a different version of Jonah Hill, something he's been open about throughout his entire career. I joke, but I'm a big Jonah Hill fan. Like his,
but he's been slim for a while though.
He has. He's been known to kind of yo-yo back and forth, but he has been thinner for quite a while. During a 2017 interview on The Tonight Show, Jonah told Jimmy Fallon, "I called Channing Tatum and I said, hey, if I eat less and go to a trainer, will I get in good shape?" And he's like, "Yeah, you dumb MF-er, of course you will. It's the simplest thing in the world." Now, in an effort to help other people in the same struggle, Jonah published a zine called Inner Children, where he vented about grappling with his body image. Cut Off, also starring Nathan Lane and Bette Midler, due out in July 17, 2026.
I've always appreciated Jonah Hill. So, like, I get it. I get it. I've never had to deal with, like, what is it when you feel poorly about your body?
Body image? Body shaming?
Yeah, just like being body shamed. Yeah, but there's a technical term to it when you just don't feel good about, like, how the composition of your body.
You're fat?
But the bottom line is that I've been a fan of his. I get it. He is in the spotlight. He is in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And of all the things in the world to have to deal with or be a part of is that in, you know what I'm saying, in that industry. That has to be hard.
Yeah. I'm just hoping that he can find peace with it because he's a very talented guy. And, I mean, he's been very open about his mental health and his physical and, you know, all of his struggles. So, yeah, kudos to him.
What is your favorite movie of his?
Oh, Superbad.
Yeah, Superbad. It's Superbad. Not even close.
Superbad is no question. Yeah, absolutely. I can't listen to Van Halen Panama without yelling McLovin. I'll just, I mean, in the middle of the night, I'll be driving through our subdivision and I'll hear it and I'll just roll down my window and yell McLovin. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I get a lot of looks, but I don't care. Hey, Zach Bryan is now the crosshairs of the Department of Homeland Security. Well, sort of, because officials at the federal agency are clapping back at his critique of ICE in his latest song. DHS Assistant Secretary of Public Affairs Trisha McLaughlin took aim at the Grammy-winning country star's music in response to Zach releasing a snippet of a new untitled track on Instagram Friday, slamming immigration and customs enforcement raids. McLaughlin told TMZ, quote, "Stick to pink skies," referring to Zach's famous tune about kids who return home to tell parents they're proud of how they grew up. In his untitled snippet, Zach sings that the cops are, quote, "cocky MFers," and that ICE plans to bust down your door, which seems pretty darn negative.
But accurate.
Now, Zach also sings that kids around the country are feeling, quote, "all scared and all alone," adding there are, quote, "middle fingers rising." Now, Zach probably summed up the situation best in Friday's Instagram post with a caption that reads, quote, "the fading of the red, white, and blue."
Let me say this. I think that it is scary and beyond unacceptable that we have all these, like, literally the American government is against its citizens. And when I say citizens, I'm not talking about immigrants. I am talking about people that are speaking out. The fact that you speak out about what's happening to other people, like DHS is looking at Zach Bryan.
Yes.
Get the hell out of here. Zach Bryan's an artist. Yeah. He can say what he wants to say.
Well,
like what? Like, seriously, what are we doing here? Seriously, what are we doing here?
You're sending in the National Guard to blue cities because there's unrest, which, you know, I've had people tell me, Henry, like Minneapolis is a declining city and that we...
It's a hellhole, right?
It's a hellhole. And the thing is, I'm being told this from people that will not come downtown. I'm being told this from people that don't even live in Minnesota. So, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to think that being downtown after dark for 6 years, I think I kind of have a little something to say. But it is very concerning that you see, you know, based on politics, this is where this administration is sending They're sending National Guard troops to cities that they claim are under siege. I mean, it certainly feels like we're in the beginning of martial law. It certainly feels like that's where we're starting to go.
Portland is under siege. They literally just had a marathon, according to Trump. Just had a marathon with like 12,000 people running.
Did you see that? Like CNN actually had an article up, and they had a photo that was from 1992, and they put that on their website, claiming that Portland is under siege. Gas was $1.19 in the picture. Gas was $1.19. Where the hell is gas $1.19 now? Like,
according to Trump, it used to be that like just like a year or so ago.
I mean, a couple years ago. I don't know. Maybe I'm just living in the wrong part of the cities, man. But it's it's so sad that they're going into blue states and blue cities because that's what Donald Trump wants to target. I mean, we see it happening. We see it all as part of Project 2025. Let's get to one more here, Henry, before we go, because we got a little sidetracked. But, you know, I mean, that's something that's really happening. We can't turn a blind eye to what's happening, even though it's not happening in Minneapolis yet. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are back together, at least for one night, but it's strictly business. The famous exes reunited Monday for a movie premiere in New York City, showing up for the first screening of Kiss of the Spider-Woman. Ooh, that sounds like it's going to be the next Geely. Jen stars in the musical and Ben serves as an executive producer. Artist Equity, the production company, shares with Matt Damon, helped produce the flick. Ben and Jen mugged for the camera, standing shoulder to shoulder, and he even wrapped his arm around her, resting his hand on her waist. Their 2024 divorce was actually finalized while she was filming the musical. Now, J-Lo is also on record saying the movie is all about escapism, and it helped her navigate one of the hardest times of her life.
Mm.
It'd be kind of weird, right?
Good for them.
I mean, good to be.
I mean, they don't have kids together, but they should all. I mean, I'd like the fact that they're still going to be friends. You never know. Maybe it'll be a trilogy. They'll marry again in a couple of years.
Oh man, I don't. As long as they don't put out any more movies. I mean, I can't do Geely 2.0. What are they calling the sequel to that? Kiss of the Spider-Woman?
Ben Affleck just seems like a guy with a lot of demons. He just seems, I'm not saying that he just seems like a tormented, like,
really?
Whenever you watch him, he looks that way. He gives off that type of energy.
See, I don't get that energy from him.
I totally get that energy. He doesn't look happy, ever. Ever. Unless he's with Matt Damon and they're, like, hanging out together.
Goofing.
Other than him being with Matt Damon, he does not seem like a happy man.
Really?
And I'm not saying that that's the case, because I want everybody to be happy, but man, whew.
Was Matt Damon married? I mean, does he need a partner? I mean, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon? No, they're dudes. They're good dudes.
Yeah, they're really good friends. Yeah.
I've never gotten that impression, but next time I'm watching Ben Affleck, I'll have to.
You've never seen the photos of him being stressed out with J-Lo or him being stressed out with Jennifer Garner or just him being like, and I get it. Whenever you're involved in any relationship, you can get stressed out.
I was going to say, it sounds like it's a woman problem. He's just dating the wrong women.
He just looks stressed. I mean, there's been pictures of him by himself and he's got a cigarette in his hand and he's just like looking up at the sky like,
oh, yeah. Well, that's a meme. Or is that a GIF or GIF? I think it's a meme.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the cigarette thing. Yeah. People have that all the time.
That's going to wrap up Word on the Street. Coming up next, Nafisa Collier, she canceled her meeting with the WNBA commissioner, and I say good for her. I'll tell you why next. Queen Fee, Nafisa Collier, canceled her meeting with WNBA commissioner Kathy Engelbert. And to that I say, congratulations, good for her. It was awesome that she did that, and I support her in that. Like, going into this, I said, yes, it's a good thing to sit down with the commissioner. It makes sense. That's what should happen. But I'm glad that she canceled the meeting. And I say that specifically because when Kathy Engelbert did when she responded to the accusations and to what Fee had to say and some other players supporting Fee, and when Kathy came out, Engelbert and the commissioners, you know, responded back and gave her version of it and all that, she, you know, tried to paint the picture that she's supportive of these women, that she's trying to navigate a new day for the WNBA, and she's not anti the movement of these women trying to get increased salaries and trying to, you know, leverage their talents towards a better CBA. Mm-hmm. She didn't shoot any of that down. But what she did do was she basically called Nafisa Collier a liar. That's basically what she did. Because specifically responding back to the comment that Fee said with regards to it was about the Caitlin Clark stuff and that, you know, Caitlin Clark should feel grateful
she
that
she
has this that she has this platform and this opportunity to make millions and all this other stuff. And then she said, no, she did not make that comment. She denied ever making that statement. If your Fee and the commissioner denies that, that is you as the commissioner saying, no, I never said that. And you're calling Fee a liar. And if I'm Fee, I'm doing what she just did. I'm saying, you know what? I'm not sitting down with you because I don't trust you. You basically just called me a liar. And no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, it's a she said situation. And it's really, if you're out and out denying it, then that is an admission that I did not say that. Then, okay, somebody is clearly saying you said this and you are saying you did not. And if you don't have it documented, if you don't have it recorded, and
it's
there's
my
no
word proof, versus
it's
yours.
My word versus yours.
But Fee says she said it to her.
And that's the thing. That's something that Kathy Engelbrecht, she does not have to prove. She doesn't have to prove that she said it. Fee can say, hey, you said this, and she can say, well, no, I didn't. It seems like the players, everybody there has been backing Fee on this.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you've got a commissioner that while maybe like the negotiating is her strength and what she's really good at, and she's given these players an opportunity to, you know, to leverage for potentially higher salaries, for better media access, for more publicity. But you can't stop there. You can't stop there. You got to keep going. And you know, you may have all of these that you've accomplished, but then the goals for these players change. It seems like the goals for the players, now you want more money, and that's something that the commissioner should go to the Players Association, be able to work with them instead of just giving the impression that, you know what, take this and be happy with it.
Let me go back to something that you brought up. You said basically it's he said, she said, or she said, she said.
She said, she said, yeah.
That it's her word versus her word. But I don't think that we look at it like that necessarily. Like, that's what it is, but we don't mm-hmm. look at it like that.
What do we look at it then?
Well, we look at it as Fee said, she said that.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy's saying, I didn't say it. But everybody's going to be like, well, do we really think that Nafisa Collier stood in front of the entire world and said you said that and you didn't? I mean, I know it's a she said, but like no one believes with a straight face that Fee made up that lie for the world to hear. Like that doesn't make sense.
She would be risking so much.
It doesn't even, that's not the Fee that we know.
No, that is a big risk to take, to go out there and, well, if it's, I'm just saying.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you know, Fee's going to go out there and she's going to say all of these things that aren't true, you know, I have not heard any players come to the commissioner's aid. Everything has been, hey, I'm going to stand with Fee. Even former players are standing with Nafisa Collier. So what does that tell you? Who is going to come to the commissioner's aid and say, no, I stand with the commissioner, not with the players? And by the way, being a member of the Players Association and engaged in negotiations, it's not like this is coming from some scrub. I mean, this is coming from who you could make the argument should have been the MVP.
Yeah, but optically, Kathy Engelbert's in a lose-lose. Like, you're talking about, like, the players that are supporting Fee. Who's supposed to support Kathy? Like, no one from the office is going to – I mean, she's the commissioner. No one from the office, like some random man or woman that we've never heard of in our lives comes out and says, yes, I support Kathy. We're like, who are you?
I mean, like, shouldn't the owner, should somebody come out and say, you know, this is a mischaracterization?
No, the owners can't get involved in this public spat because now is not the time for them to be fighting their teams. That will be a lose. That'd be the worst thing in the world. Can you imagine A-Rod and Mark Lurie? No, the commissioner's not on the, I'm talking about publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Like owners can feel however they want to feel with this public spat, but can you imagine A-Rod and Mark Lurie getting involved in this? Like, they have to sit back and just watch it play out. Or any other owner.
It doesn't
do you any good to support Kathy Engelbert at this time.
No, well, and that's kind of where I'm, you know, what you were getting to and what I'm getting to. It's like, if she's there and she's got the entire world, and I'm not feeling sorry for the commissioner. I'm not saying that. It's like the entire world against one, and you just figure that there would be somebody that if this was not true, somebody would come up.
You're missing my point. I'm not saying that there aren't people that are backing her.
They just can't do it publicly.
They can't do it publicly. Like, it'd be a PR disaster. No owner can come out and say anything against, because of the negotiations. Mm-hmm. They are trying to renegotiate and do something about a CBA. There's no owner that can come out and have Kathy's back right now.
Would that change if there wouldn't be a negotiation?
And if somebody in the league office came out and said, yeah, Kathy is right here, like, everybody in the world would be like, well, you're Alex Brown. We don't even know who the hell you are. Yeah. Like that. So she's at a disadvantage.
If there wasn't a negotiation about the CBA, would that change? Like, owners not being able, because, okay, you're in the CBA negotiation, but if they had a contract and labor strife wasn't going to be an issue.
Chris.
Could you see an owner come?
That's the reason why Nafisa Collier did this in the first place, is because they're negotiating contract. Mm-hmm. If they had a five-year deal, like, if the CBA didn't expire for the next 5 years, Fee wouldn't have done what she did.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm trying to sit here and think about how, because it's a PR nightmare right now for the, because we're talking.
I don't think that Kathy's going to survive this. I really don't.
You know, I don't, something tells me that they get through the CBA and then they figure out a way for a new commissioner. Because the league cannot go on with this sort of turmoil between the commissioner and your star and basically the entire WNBA against the commissioner. Like, something inside of me tells me that they get this done and then they figure out new leadership, because the WNBA cannot have this. This is not what you want fans to know your product for.
It's a bad look.
It's a really bad look. We're talking about it, but we're not talking about it for the right reasons.
Yep. All right, 651-461-9226. Final segment of The Lake Show coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthShare.org.
All right, final couple of minutes here of the Lake Show. I got some NFL items to get to. Real quickly, I want to get to a text from earlier tonight when we were talking about J.J. McCarthy. This from Adam in White Bear Lake. He says, Henry, in my opinion, I hope McCarthy's healthy coming off the bye week. But if he's still apprehensive about his ankle, then I still start Wentz on the 19th. And then McCarthy gets the extra 2 days to prepare for the Chargers on a short week. But if Wentz is healthy and the team is winning, then you stick with him. In the end, it's all about winning games, which I understand that, but it's also about the development of J.J. McCarthy. Like, it's both. You got to figure out if he can play at all. Because if J.J. McCarthy can't play, you're screwed.
Well, I think you're looking
at getting a new GM.
When you're talking about, you know, if he's winning, we know that Wentz has gone 2-1. Like, we know that because now you got the bye. To me, I could see if Wentz is healthy, I could see Wentz with Philadelphia and then giving J.J. the Charger game. Because that is, again, that's a Sunday to Thursday. That's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah, but you said if Wentz is healthy.
If he's healthy, Wentz plays against Philadelphia and then J.J. takes over.
But it's not about Wentz. It's about J.J.
No, I know, but...
So why are you saying if Wentz is healthy? Shouldn't it be if J.J.'s healthy?
Do you... Here's my question with that. Do you bring J.J. back and have him do those two games in 5 days? Or do you let him sit?
Well, yeah, technically, because he's a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Like, we said this earlier, and you agree. You're like, we can't baby guys. Like, this is what it is.
You can't, but at the same time, I do think you're in a weird... This is a weird part of the schedule. It really is, because I don't think these teams are as intimidating as what we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year. Chargers have some issues. Eagles have some issues.
Yeah, those teams are flawed, but they're way better than we are. Not maybe the Chargers, but the Eagles are a much better team than we are. They still are.
They are. They've got some freaks. They've got some freaks on that defense. I don't know. I just, something about it still tells me that if God dang, see, if Wentz is healthy, I just don't want to rush JJ. If they say that he's healthy, yeah, two games in 5 days, do you split the difference? I don't know. I don't know if you split the difference.
All right, real quickly, Jerry Jones was fined $250,000 after giving fans the middle finger on video. He doesn't care.
Hey, Jerry doesn't care.
$250,000 is like $25 to him.
Yeah. That's still a
less
lot of,
than
that's
that.
Still a lot of money to some people. Yeah, $25
to a lot of people, but well, I'm just saying it's nothing.
Yeah, Jerry don't care about $250 or $25.
Also, I'm blanking on his name right now. The Arizona Cardinals head coach.
John Gannon?
Yeah, Gannon. He got fined $100,000.
He should. You don't put your hands on a player like that.
He punched a player.
Yeah.
Now, it was dumb what the player did.
Ari DeMarcado, 72-yard touchdown run, lost the ball before the goal line. You don't hit a player. You don't put your hands on a player, though.
No, you don't. No, like, no, it's unacceptable.
It is absolutely unacceptable. Yeah. Come on, Jonathan Gannon. My gosh, you got to know better. I mean, DeMarcado, that was a dumb move. Lost the ball. You know he feels bad. The last thing you want is your head coach going over and physically putting his hands on you. Because the player can't do anything back. The player's got to sit there and take it.
Opening night of the NHL. The Wild are not in action. Tomorrow night, they're not in action. They don't open until Thursday.
Yes!
What up with that?
Let's wait and see how everybody else does.
Playing at St. Louis.
Yeah.
Show me state.
They're in the loo and they're proud.
I hate the St. Louis Blues. I really do.
I like the Cardinals. Don't like the Blues. Their fans are obnoxious. But
I hate the Cardinals, too.
But they're the same people.
I only like Ozzie Smith. That's it. It's going to wrap up the Lake Show. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow night right here on The Good Neighbor.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.